Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Ali Zaini, and we are speaking today about the name of Allah al-Hakim. And the name of Allah al-Hakim, Allah is Hakim in so many things. But the selected subject today is Hakim, or wisdom of halal and haram. Hakim means the most wise. Can anybody be wiser than Allah? Nobody can ever be wiser than Allah. Okay? Do you guys see the text? Do you guys see the text?
Yes.
Okay. So there is Allah is Al-Hakim. There is no one more wise than Allah. Al-Hakim, the most wise. Nobody whatsoever is more wise than Allah. Wisdom requires knowledge, and nobody is all-knowing except Allah. And nobody is more wise than Allah. Okay, what is wisdom in general? Wisdom is to do the right thing in the right place, the right thing in the right place at the right time for the right person and the right way. That's what wisdom is. You differentiate between the times, okay? You differentiate between things, you treat them differently, and you put the right thing, do the right thing, the right way, at the right time for the right person, in the right manner. You know what I'm saying? When you put all these rights together, then this is what wisdom is. Wisdom basically is the application of knowledge. You need knowledge to have wisdom. You cannot be wise without having knowledge, because you would be just guessing. If you don't know, then you're guessing. Okay? Then guessing can never be wise. It works. If it works once, it will not work the 10 times. It maybe will work one time in 100 scenarios where your guessing could be wise without you knowing, without you having the necessary knowledge. And wisdom cannot be achieved without knowledge. Now, for example, in order to college that you want to attend, in order to select the college that you want to attend, what you want to do, you want to you're gonna gather information about the college that you apply to. You gather this information, and then make a wise decision based on the information available to you. You make a wise decision. Okay. If you have partial knowledge, you need a choice. It would be kind of educated guess, or guesstimate, like they used to call it, guesstimate. Okay, because you don't have enough knowledge. So you need knowledge to have wisdom. And this is why in Quran, Surah 62, verse 2, Allah said that He is sent His Prophet to us, the illiterate Prophet to us, the illiterate nation, the nation of the illiterate Prophet, okay, to teach us. He sent us the illiterate Prophet to teach us knowledge, to teach us al-kitab wal-hikmah, the book and the wisdom. The book, we know it, is the Quran. Quran, that's the book. The wisdom.
No, I wasn't moving at all.
The wisdom is the application of the book. The implementation of the Quran in the land of reality is called wisdom. Okay? So Allah did not send us the Quran to be written on cheap paper with a cheap ink. No. That's not the purpose of sending the Quran. Allah wanted us to implement the Quran in the land of reality. So the principles and the rules of the Quran and the moral values of the Quran to be implemented, to be real values in the society, real governing values in the society. That's why the Quran is to apply the Quran in the land of reality. It's not just like reading it, it's a good deed, but that's not the the objective, the only objective of the Quran. Reading, worshiping, yes, but also to be implemented in our life as a reality. It becomes the real, the principles of the Quran becomes real value principles. So apply Quran in reality. That requires wisdom. So that's why we say that the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ahadith that he mentions, okay, and these teachings and traditions of the Prophet represent the implementation of the Quran at the land of reality, at the reality where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living in at that time. So that was the implementation of the Quran in the land of reality. That's how he took the Quran and applied it. So teach us Quran and the book, which is Quran, and the wisdom, which is applying the Quran correctly. Now, before we go anywhere, we need to establish a principle, an important principle, that if something has already happened in the past, and you believe that someone can come up with a better scenario than what has actually has happened, then you disbelieved in the name of Allah al-Hakim, the most wise. So whatever happens, Allah decides about a scenario, okay? And scenario happens, whatever has happened already is happened, done. It's not will happen, no, whatever has happened. And you believe that someone else can do better than that, or come up with a better scenario, or come up with a wiser scenario, a more wise scenario, then you have disbelief in Allah, the name, the most wise. Now, in whatever scenario Allah is deciding, people are going to be winners and losers. Based on this scenario, people are going to be either winners or losers. Okay? So, what you want to do is say, Ya Allah, in the scenario you decide, please make me a winner. Ya Allah, please, in the scenario that you decide, please make me a winner. Don't make me a loser. So that's what you want and pray for. But whatever happens, that's the most wise scenario that anybody can decide based on the circumstances and based on the situation. That's the best, the most wise scenario, whatever has happened already, because whatever has happened already, okay, is decided by Allah. And he is the most wise. Okay. We're talking about do's and don'ts, halal and haram. We have a rule. We say haram is and halal. Haram means don'ts. Halal means do's. Haram means don'ts. Okay. There is halal and haram. So today we're going to talk about halal and haram and the wisdom behind it. Not everything is clear-cut halal or clear-cut haram. Between the clean-cut halal and clean-cut haram, there is an area, there is an interface. There is an interface between them. So you might want, say, for example, this is halal, and this is haram. There is an interface area in between. In between halal and haram, there's an interface area here. There's an area here, gray area. Gray area here. This gray area See, this area here is a gray area, which is between halal and haram. It's not halal always, it's not haram, there is no evidence that proves it's halal 100%, and there's no evidence that proves it's haram 100%. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommendation was to stay away from it. So if there's something that's gray area, then just stay away out of it. The safest scenario is that you stay out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many wisdoms about halal and haram. One of them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's haram for you to kill, Allah is also saying that it's haram for others to kill you. It works both ways. It's haram for you to kill and haram for others to kill you. So don't kill for you, for them, don't kill. Okay? So it works both ways. And that's why they said the golden rule is to treat others the way you'd like to be treated. If something haram for you, you don't accept it for yourself, then don't do it for others, because you don't accept it for yourself. Okay? So by saying it's haram to steal from you, when Allah saying it is for haram for you to steal from others, Allah says to the others, it's haram to steal from you. Okay? And the range of halal and haram is so broad to accommodate different people living at different times, at different conditions, at different scenarios. So it's very broad. Okay? The halal is very broad. The haram is also, the area of halal and haram is very broad. It's not designed specifically to meet one person at one condition, in one place, at one time. No, it is meant to accommodate the entire nation of Islam living at different times, different places, different circumstances, different conditions. Okay? So this is why it's broad. But inside this halal and haram broad area, there is another area. See, there is this. This is here. This is haram. This boundary here is the boundary of haram. Okay? See, from here to here, this is the boundary of haram. Okay? I'm sorry, from here to here, this is the broad area between halal and haram. From this area to this area, that's the broad area between halal and haram. But for you as a person living in a specific place, living at specific condition, at specific circumstances, you have something called wise and unwise. Not every halal is wise for you. Absolutely not. Not every halal is wise for you. That's not true. See? Your area of wise and unwise for you is tailored to your specific needs, specific conditions, specific circumstances. But the broad area of halal and haram is designed for everybody. Okay? So something might be halal. Not all halal things are wise. There are so many halal things that are not wise for you to do. For example, divorce, it's halal. But it is not wise. In many circumstances, it's not wise. For example, going into the a college that you can't afford, it's very unwise. Okay? It's not haram, but it's very unwise. There are so many things that are halal, but unwise. And this is why we have something called freedom of halal. Islam supports freedom of halal. For example, you want to sell. You can use cash, you can use a check, you can use credit cards, you can use debit cards, you can use cashier checks, so many things. There are all these halal ways. So you pick whatever is good for you or whatever is wise for you to do. Okay? if you take a check, then the check may be bounced. Do you have the ability to cash the check right away? No. Then you might, it might not be wise for you to accept checks then. Okay. So that's the way to think about it. So every person has his or her own wise and unwise range, which is much narrower than the broad halal and haram range. And this is why Islam supports freedom of halal. But Islam does not support freedom of haram. Haram, no. Islam does not support that you, the freedom of doing bad things or the freedom of making bad choices or bad actions. Okay? But you do have a freedom of halal and no freedom for haram. Freedom is okay for halal. Freedom is not okay for haram. Okay. So it's important to keep that in mind. So not every halal thing is good for you. Okay. Now, halal and haram are well defined and clear. By the way, there is we use the word halal, haram, makruh, and sunnah. Halal, haram, makruh, and sunnah. Halal is something, you know, is permissible. Haram is something forbidden. Makruh is, it's better not to do it. Sunnah means it's good to do it. That is the four classifications. Halal means good. Haram means bad. Makruh means it's better not to do it. Sunnah is, oh, is you better do it. It's good for you if you do it, but it's not mandatory. For example, you can do extra prayers. These extra prayers, we call them sunnah prayers. Sunnah means because it's a voluntarily thing. It's an optional thing. You are encouraged to do it. You do it more, you be better. You get more reward when you do more sunnah. Okay? But it's not mandatory. So if you have your fard prayer, mandatory prayer, okay, that's what is required. That's what must to do. You go extra, that's good. But that's called sunnah now, optional. So that's, and be careful that the word sunnah means so many things. We have this here case where sunnah means something optional and something good. And then we have another definition of sunnah that means that the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called sunnah also. Okay, so don't confuse both meanings. Sunnah, again, is in the halal and haram terminology, is different than sunnah as the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam terminology, and it's different than sunnah, which is opposite of bid'ah. Sunnah, bid'ah. Bid'ah means innovation. Innovation means like somebody, and instead of praying, putting hands like here, someone decides to pray putting his hands like this. Instead of saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he just puts it like that. That's called bid'ah because it's changing the religion. It's changing the prayer form. Instead of doing little like do this, this is called bid'ah, innovation. And this is haram in Islam. Okay? So we have sunnah, again, which is the opposite of bid'ah. Sunnah, traditional. So the bid'ah is innovational. Somebody in innovation. Okay? So we have sunnah, opposite to bid'ah. We have sunnah in the haram and halal category, and we have sunnah in doing optional prayers, okay, and optional fasting. So be careful about the word sunnah because it means one of those three, it's three different meanings. But here we're talking about halal, haram. So we have halal, good, haram, bad, makruh, better not to do it. Sunnah, it's good. It's good if you do it. It's an extra good thing that you can have and you can do. Okay. So, on what basis halal and haram are decided by Allah? Allah has decided halal and haram for different nations in different ways. For example, for us Muslims, Allah says, I made every good thing halal for you, and every bad thing, haram for you. Every harmful thing, haram for you. And this is here in the Surah Al-A'raf, which is Surah number 7, Ayah 157, is that they follow the messenger, the illiterate prophet. You know the prophet was illiterate? You know the prophet was illiterate? And you might say, well, but not, that's not something good. Yes, being illiterate is bad for everybody except the prophet. It's an honor for the prophet. Why? Because the prophet cannot read or write, that proves that he did not bring this book from his like readings of other books. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, tell them, the ones who are accusing the prophet to be a liar, he said, tell them, have you read a book before it, written a book before it, so that they have a right to say, okay, yeah, that's one new publication for him. But Prophet Muhammad is illiterate in that sense, meaning that the source of his knowledge is divine, is not by reading and writing. He got his knowledge not from reading and writing. He got it from divine. So Allah didn't want him to be able to read or write. So Allah chose him to be illiterate, sent in a nation in the deserts that have no literacy or philosophy or anything like that. You know, if the Islam was sent to the Romans and the Greeks and they had Socrates and all these philosophers, they would think the teachings of Islam would be mixed with these philosophical teachings of ancient Greeks and Romans. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an illiterate prophet to an illiterate nation at that time. The companions and the followers of Prophet Muhammad, they were mostly illiterate. There were no libraries in the Arabian Peninsula then. There were no any universities or school or colleges or anything like that. So Quran teachings became pure because they were not mixed with any other traditions or philosophies around. Okay, so Allah says in this ayah, those who follow the messenger, the illiterate prophet, whom they find mentioned in the scripts and the scriptures, in the law and the gospel, he commands them what is just and forbids them from what is evil. And then here's the key word. Here's the text that we're looking for. Here it is. He allows them. Lawful things is good. Make good things lawful for them, and bad things are bad for them. I'm sorry. Lawful things or beneficial things, halal, and bad things, harmful things are haram, prohibited. He releases them from their heavy burdens and etc., etc., etc. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is Surah number 5, verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying how to make wudu. It's describing, oh, you who believers, when you prepare for the prayer, wash your faces and your hands and your elbows and rub your heads and wash your feet, etc., etc., etc. And then at the very end, he said, the statement that we're looking for is that he doesn't want to put you in difficulty, but he wants to make you clean and to complete his favors in you. Okay? To show the favors of Allah on you. He gave you water and he gave you the ability to be clean. Then use it. Now, for the children of Israel, it was totally different scenario. Not totally different, but it was a different scenario. Allah has made some of the good things haram on them, even though they are good and beneficial, but he made it haram for them. Why? He says in Surah An-Nisa, which is Surah number 5, verse 160, that as a punishment for the wrongdoings, we made unlawful for them certain food good, but Allah made it unlawful for them. And so good things, halal and haram for them, are decided based on not what is good and what's bad. No, Allah made so many good things haram on them. Okay, why? Because they misbehaved. Because of misbehavior, they just crossed the Red Sea when Prophet Musa parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel. And they crossed from one end to the other, watching such a miracle, going through it, onto going to the other side of the sea. And then the sea, the Pharaoh followed them, and then the sea closed on the Pharaoh, and he and his soldiers drowned. And they just crossed to the other side. And the minute they crossed, after that they made a calf, a golden calf, and they worshiped the golden calf. And that was like, that was something, you know, if you see a miracle and you still misbehave, that's a terrible sin. And this is why Allah, for this particular sin, he said, no repentance is accepted except that the ones who worship who did not worship the calf must kill the ones who worship the calf. So it's not just asking for forgiveness and making istighfar and repentance. No. Because they have done this after seeing such a magnificent miracle, Allah punished them by making haram on them, good stuff haram for them, and by making it hard for them that if you repent, in order to repent from worshiping the calf, the one who didn't worship the calf has to kill you. You have to be killed for that mistake. Okay? So they misbehaved really badly, and this is why Allah Allah made it difficult on them. And not only on that, on Saturday, the story of Saturday, the people of the Saturday, which Allah made Saturday a Sabbath day for the Jews. Don't do anything. Even if you have a factory and the factory runs, okay, on Saturday, no. There shouldn't be any kind of business produced on Saturday. No kind of business or whatsoever produced on Saturday. Okay? So what they did, they built. So Allah wanted to test them, give them a hard test to punish them. So Allah would make the fish come closer to the coastline, to the coast, during Saturday. And on the rest of the week, the fish is very far away, very deep in the ocean. So this is Allah made it that way. So on Saturday, the fish comes jumping and teasing them, like, you know, jumping from the water, like that. And they can see it, but they can't catch it because they are forbidden from catching the fish on Saturday. So what they did, they set traps on Friday, they set the traps so that when the fish comes on Saturday, it's caught by these traps. And then they collect the fish on Sunday. And they were cursed for this disobedience. Okay? They cursed. Allah made things haram on them because they misbehaved so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram for them. This is the ayah. Ask them concerning the town standing close by the sea. Behold, they transgress in the matter of the Sabbath. For the end of their Sabbath, their fish did come to them, openly holding up their heads. But on the day where there's no Sabbath, they didn't come out. So we made it a trial for them, for they were given to transgression. Now, one of the objectives of sending Prophet Isa was to change the Sharia law, or the laws. The laws and regulations of the Prophet Musa, which was very hardship. It has hardships. He imposed the hardships on the Jews, as we said, because they misbehaved. Allah sent Prophet Isa to relieve them, from this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, to tell them that I have come to you to relieve you from the law which was before me, and to make lawful to you the part that was before forbidden. You were for, it was a good thing this was forbidden for you because you misbehaved. Now Allah sent me to relieve you. But they refused to believe in Prophet Jesus. Many of them refused to believe in Prophet Jesus, and they continued to be Jews, and until today they are in violation of this rule and Saturday rule. Now, sometimes this is very important that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention the wisdom of halal and haram in the Quran. Some things Allah mentions, yes. He said, this is haram because of this wisdom. This is halal because of this wisdom. Okay? Like, for example, when he talks about the hijab, he mentioned the wisdoms for the hijab. Okay? He mentioned the wisdoms for the hijab. And when he says about other laws of inheritance, he also mentioned the wisdom of these laws. But when it comes, for example, eating pork, Allah did not mention why pork was haram. Why did he make pork haram? He said, haram is bad, then pork is bad for you, then it's haram. So we don't know the wisdom for sure. We can go and read some articles about people who say that the wisdom eats poop. The pork eats poop. The pork eats meat, dead meat. The pork is dirty. The pork is filthy. The pork fat does not convert into human fat. So when you eat it, it stains your body as a pork fat. You can say all these things. But if someone non-Muslim asks you, and that non-Muslim person tells you why the pork is haram in Islam, the only correct answer is because God said so in the Quran. You say, God, it's haram because Allah has said so in the Quran. However, he did not mention the wisdom. But I have found out that it eats dead meat, it's filthy, it's blah blah, doesn't convert to human fat. You can say whatever you want to say, but it's very important to tell that person that this wisdom is my own wisdom, not Allah's wisdom. It's not mentioned in the Quran, because there are other reasons that we don't know. The science until today didn't, the food scientists didn't come up, and they didn't find out, didn't come up with the, they did not discover yet why pork is harmful, okay? They did not discover it yet, but until they discover it, it may take them years and years to discover it, but until they discover it, we're not eating it anyway. Because you might find some person, you know, would make an argument and say, okay, you say it's filthy, it's eats poop, it's dirty. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a newly born pork, a newly born pig. I'm going to bring it and shower it, give it a bath every day, feed it cereal with milk, and do all kind of things that anybody can do to make sure that it's a clean meat, it's a clean pork or a clean pig. Would you eat it? The answer is no. No, I'm not going to eat it. Why? Because God said so in the Quran. Okay? So you're welcome, but if you say the wrong wisdom, if you give the wrong wisdom, okay, when you give the wrong wisdom, then you're Allah's accused, or Islam's accused because of you, because you're not giving the right wisdom, because you are given a wisdom that's not mentioned in the Quran. That's very important to know that, okay? The riba, sometimes Allah also, when he is asked why this thing is haram, Allah makes a royal answer. And he says, because I am Allah, I know better than you. This is halal and this is haram. I'll give you an example of the thing in in Surah Al-Baqarah about riba, usury, like loaning somebody $100 and ask him to pay you back like next week $110, for example. Okay, that's called riba. Or you can call it also interest. Interest is part of the riba. Not every riba is interest, but every interest is riba, sort of. So there is a wisdom. So the people started arguing with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, basically, according to the verse, they said, riba is like business. Riba is like business. They can trade is like usury. That's what they said here. Trade is like usury. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, said, I am Allah. I have permitted trade and forbidden usury. Okay. So that's a royal answer. He didn't explain to them why, but royal way, in a royal manner, I am Allah. Know what I've created. Know you. Know everything. And I'm all knowing. And I say that it's haram. Now, with the knowledge of today, it's obvious, it becomes very obvious to us why riba is haram and why riba is halal. And let me explain this to you. And the if I loan you $100, and I say after 1 year you give them to me $110, that's riba, that's haram. But if I take $100 plus business equals to 110, this is halal. So that's the business equation. This is the riba equation, the haram equation, the halal equation. The riba equation, which is haram, $100 today plus 1 year, 110. You pay them back $110, 110. No. Why? Because this extra $10, which is the riba amount means the extra amount, this extra amount, which is the $10, okay, comes because of time, which is a year. So it means this time value of money means inflammation. That's why you get inflammation. Okay? And inflation comes because the $100 today is like the $110 after 1 year. So that's why you get inflation and increased cost of living because of the riba. So the price of money, the value of money keeps coming down. Inflation. Okay. But so what's the difference then when it's $100 plus business equals to 110? The extra $10, which the riba, which the extra $10, are not haram because they didn't come from time, they come from business. So then this extra $10 is coming from business. So there is business that's been done. And as a result of this business, you gained $10. Okay, so it's not time. So you didn't get the $10 because of time, you get it because of business. So that's the business equation. And that's the usury or interest or haram equation. Now, if Allah would like to give these technical details of the Quran, I don't see a way of explaining this in a language that would be easy for everybody to understand. You know, it's just very technical things stuff, and the Quran doesn't contain technical stuff like this. So Allah said, gave a royal answer. He said, I, Allah, all-knowing, and I made this equation like this haram. The riba here is haram, but the business here is halal. Without giving any explanation, he said, you know, you figure it out on your own. You figure it out why, but if you don't figure it out, still, that doesn't change anything. Okay? So that's a royal answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah, this is why Allah said the same. And then Allah goes and encourages you to discover the wisdom. Allah tells you to go, okay, go discover the wisdom behind this. Go discover the wisdom behind that. Allah encourages us to discover the wisdom. But at the end of the day, we can't say that's the wisdom mentioned in the Quran by Allah, because it's not mentioned by Allah. Unless Allah specifically says the wisdom, like hijab issues, Allah specifically said the hijab issue, explained why it's haram, why hijab is mandatory, why no hijab is haram. Okay? Now, and also another hadith is about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us to always think about the wisdom of Allah, not only in halal and haram, also with what is happening to you. So if you get in a trouble, you keep thinking, you say, okay, maybe because I did this thing that backfired on me, I did this haram thing that backfired on me, maybe because I wasn't fair yesterday, I got a traffic ticket today, maybe. You keep thinking, you know, trying to relate the hardship that you fell into or the punishment that you got with some mistake that you have done in the past. So you can think of the wisdom of this happening to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the believer, the hypocrites or the non-believer, the disbelievers, if they, or the believer, if he becomes sick and then he recovers from his sickness, he will try to link the wisdom. Why was he sick and why Allah relieved him from his sickness? And try to see, what did I do wrong? Did I do this? Did I do that? What mistake have I done? Okay, that's the believer. Now, the non-believer is like a ba'ir. Ba'ir is a camel. A camel that when the camel is tied or when the camel is released, the camel has no idea why did they tie him down or why did they release him. He just have no idea. So the kafir or the disbeliever or the non-believer, when they go through the these life, they don't link it. They don't link it together, link their wrongdoings with the punishments they get, just like a camel, okay? Okay. There's also other forms of riba. Other forms of riba. Riba is not only sell gold. Riba is also not only sell money for more money, but it is sold gold for more gold, rice for more rice, dates for more dates, money for more money. Okay, money for more money, which is buying money with money. You buy, like in the example we gave, you're buying $100 today with $110 next year. Okay, so that's buying something with a similar thing with different quantity is haram. For example, if you have two bad cars, okay, and you wanna exchange them with one good car, that's riba, that's haram. So you cannot go to a car dealer and exchange two bad cars with one good car. Why? Because this is riba. Why riba? I'll explain to you in a minute. Islam says, no, you take your two old cars, sell them in the market, get the money and buy the new car. That's what Islam says. Okay, why is that? Because when you take the two cars and sell them on the market, means business here. You're selling two cars on the market. That's business. And then you buy a new car, that's another business transaction. So business transactions generated that difference of quantity, because the riba is coming down from 2 to 1, so there's one riba. So two cars, two old, one new. This is riba. The difference is one. Two minus one is one. So there is riba. The riba amount is one. Because if you are allowed, which is not, is you should exchange one car with one car. But of course, nobody's going to give you a new car for your old car. Okay? So you need to give more. More means riba right away. More is riba. That's the definition of the word riba. It's the extra. So the extra car that you're paying is riba. So what you do? You do go to the market, like I said, you sell the old cars, and then you take the money and you buy the new car. Why is this halal? It's because you've done business of selling and business of buying, okay? Versus exchanging, okay? Dates for more dates, like if you have one pound, you cannot exchange one pound of good dates with two pounds of bad dates, no. You cannot exchange dates with different amounts. If you want, you can do 50 for 50, but that's 50 pounds for 50 pounds, 200 pounds for 200 pounds. But this is not going to happen because nobody's going to give you 50 good quality dates in exchange of your 50 bad quality dates. So you don't say, you can't go and say, okay, I want to sell you 100 bad quality dates with 50 good quality dates. That's riba, that's forbidden. Then what do? You go sell the 100 pounds bad dates in the market. You get the money and then buy the 50 pounds good dates. Now, what's the difference? Again, business. You sold 100 pounds of bad dates. That's a business. And then you buy the 50 pounds of good dates. That's business. So there is a business involved. But if you just trade dates for dates, there's no business there, okay? And so forth, money for more money, gold for more gold, silver for more silver, you know, cars for more cars, gold for more gold. Some people have old gold or lower quality gold or the less pure gold, sort of these things, and they want to exchange it for less, higher quality gold. Okay, then this is haram. They have to sell the old, get the money, buy the new. Okay, so this is how you see the wisdom that we don't realize unless you're really like a knowledgeable person in this field. You don't realize these things. Okay, and I didn't understand them until later on when I became more knowledgeable. I did understand at that time why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said riba is haram. Riba is haram, but business is halal. Riba is bad, but business is good. Okay. A lot of people until today, they tell you, riba, it's just a business. I gave you $100 today. You give them to me 110 after 1 year. There is a puzzle for you. Maybe if you email me the answer, I give you something good. This puzzle is happened before, actually. In an Islamic country, Sharia compliant, sort of compliant country, in the past, a person loaned another person $1 million. And he said to return them back after 5 years, to return them back $2 million. So they agreed and did the transaction. He took the person took the $1 million. And after 2 years, he gave them back to the owner as $1 million. He said, hold on, where is the other $1 million that we agreed on? We agreed you're giving them back to me $2 million, not $1 million. He said, no, if I give you $2 million, then it's haram, it's riba. And I am a person who doesn't do haram stuff. I don't do haram stuff, I just give you your $1 million back. So they argued together. So they went to the judge, and the judge was the Sharia judge, according to Islamic law. So if the judge say you have to give him back $2 million, then the judge is accepting riba, which is haram. Nobody can do that. But also if the judge says give him back 1 million, the million that he gave to you, give it back to him 1 million, then it's not fair, because the guy, the agreed on something that that's not fair. That's, you know, they agreed on something different. So how do you solve this? Any ideas? Anyway, if you get an idea of how to do that, just let me know and I'll give you a nice gift. Okay.